Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome, everybody, to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. I hope everybody is having a fantastic Thursday morning so far. It's 6:30 here on the East Coast in New York, and I'm very excited to have back on the show now for part two of a 10-part series, Dame Emma Jane Brown. Emma, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you.
Great. So Emma, now, before we get into, the whole... And I got to say, amazing story, because you really do have a very intriguing story that you shared with us last episode. I just want to reiterate the company that you have, and again, doing some really cool things, is EJB Events. So briefly, Emma, why don't you share with us the idea behind EJB Events, because I know that's what really we're trying to get out to the people.
Yeah, EJB Events is a bespoke concierge company. And it was built up by me sort of 3-4 years ago when I decided to take on the challenge to get involved in an events company. So for 18 months, I went out and became like a mystery shopper, and I went and checked out hotels and different venues and how things were run, and got that sorted. And then from there, started, putting on events. So I think really the concept of EJB Event Service was probably based around the knowledge of the life of being in a sports personality, which was what I used to do as a former international show jumper for over 20 years. And because of being away for long periods away from my home and also my family, I think it sort of gave me little time to organise anything outside my sport. And so
Sure. That's
sort of where I got the idea from originally, to, additionally put my personal concierge service, which can take sort of care of details of people's lives and, try to offer clients experiences that will always exceed their expectations.
Absolutely. And now, just to clarify, what type of events have you put together? What type of events can you put together? I mean, is this like, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it like a birthday party type thing? Is it a bachelor or bachelorette party? I mean, what kind of events are you putting together?
Yeah, I mean, we can always do that for people, whatever they want. But the main source of what we do is we organize red carpet hospitality, which allows guests to get up close and personal with Hollywood A-listers such as Sylvester Stallone, Al Pacino, Arnie Schwarzenegger, and recently the wonderful rock and roll legend Jerry Lee Lewis. And this
Very
is
cool.
really like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So this can sort of include a limo service to the show. You get the best seats in the house. You get an invite to the champagne reception. And, of course, you get the chance to meet the stars themselves.
Yeah. So really, when you hear from people... I mean, are they asking for specific celebrities, or is it just kind of you putting that together and then it's almost a surprise?
Yeah, it's sometimes a surprise for them, but we like to sort of do an assortment of things. We want to give them unforgettable trips to the world's most exclusive hotels and destinations, and invite them to international fashion shows and excursions to the most prestigious events on the sporting calendar. So it's, dining with celebrities and all different sort of amazing experiences that people can't normally get.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the different events, have you worked, have you been able to put together trips to, say, different sporting events like tennis or soccer or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, we never forget the men, obviously. We do both, men and women. So I like to lay on shooting and racing days and fishing trips and, like yacht charters in different places around the world, golf courses. But we just done recently a wonderful thing. We did a corporate shoot for 8 clients with Peter Wilson, who is the Team GB gold medalist. So you get
half
a day experience actually with a gold medalist, and you get taught by him. You actually get his gun that he used to win that gold medal, which is something very, very special. And you get, you know, expertise, training and everything, lunch, and it's literally for beginners upwards. So it's a wonderful experience to go and do that in an amazing countryside, you know, up in the Midlands, which is sort of from London, about 2 hours. So you get the glory of seeing our countryside, but also shooting with an Olympic gold medalist.
Very cool. And so, so Emma, now before we get any further into EJB events, now I know you mentioned your background and how it kind of, you know, the traveling and the constant having to make these plans on your own kind of set you in here. But why don't you refresh the new listeners that we may have for today's show just about your actual background, like where you came from, and, you know, I know that you're a show jumper, but why don't you share with us a little bit about your career there?
Okay, well, I was a former international show jumper, so I was sort of one of the best lady riders in my generation at that time. I hit the headlines sort of at the age of 20 when I won a very, very prestigious championship competition of Great Britain, and then I sort of travelled the world then from then on. In 1989, I became the first female show jumper to compete on the American Fall Circuit, which is sort of like Washington, New York and Toronto. So that was for 6 weeks representing my British Nation Cup team. And then 1990, I won a very, very prestigious competition, which is the Queen Elizabeth II Cup, which is, you know, a really memorable award to win. It's one of the best ones you can win. So I sort of represented my country for many, many years. I was the highest ranked female rider for many years and recognized as an esteemed ambassador for my country. But then sort of when I hit the age of about 25, 26, I sort of started getting an allergy to horses, which was outrageously bizarre because, you know, you're at the top of your sport, everything is going good, you've got owners, sponsors, you're winning, you're fit, your horses are all great, and this allergy came in, and, you know, because I was having to be with horses 24/7, which is what you have to do, there was no escape. So it's not sort of like when you just have an allergy to a dog or whatever, you just, you know, stay away. I had to be with horses training every day without fail.
Sure.
I couldn't dip in and dip out because that's not what sports people do anyway. So I unfortunately had to sell my horses and my yard, which I'd sort of, you know, progressed through many years of building it up and building more stables and breeding stables, and, you know, it was my life. It was literally shattered beyond belief.
I mean, that's incredibly wild.
Yeah.
The allergy, that it's just crazy. It's just unbelievable.
I know. I mean, I can't even go into a house where maybe somebody's been outside with this, you know, with the horses in the stables, and then they hang the jacket up and put it in their, you know, kitchen or something. Within 20 minutes, my eyes start swelling up and I get, you know, ill. So unfortunately it stayed with me, and it's, you know, it's a great shame because I obviously, you know, want to do a lot of training and be with horses all the time, and so, you know, I have to sort of, my passion is still there and it will never ever stop, but I have to sort of be careful of how much time I do spend with the horses at certain events, because I'm now a mentor for the first blind show jumper in Great Britain, which I'm very proud to be involved. And, you know, that's sort of where I've lost my time with competing.
Right.
My passion now is put into helping the blind show jumper. And also I now mentor some other para riders as well, which that sort of helps me.
Absolutely.
Recovering from knowing that I can't compete myself. So that's my therapy, really, for me.
But now, how are you still able to be involved with the allergy? Have you found a way to kind of control it, or?
I take medication, and I have to put a sort of Vic Sinex stuff up my nose and block my nose so that, you know, the spores and the dust and everything from the horse's hair. I find it very, very difficult and nearly impossible if I have to go into an indoor arena because of the air and there's no pure air in the building. If
right.
I'm outdoors and it's a good day and, you know, it's a lovely sunny day, I'm okay. I can spend time, you know, with the horse, and then I have to go and wash my hands. I have to change my clothes like 2-3 times. But I can't, at the end of the day, I can't get back in the car and drive home with all the clothes on that I've been near the horses, because then I'm ill in the car on the way home. So I have to always keep washing and changing and, you know, keep that stuff away from me.
Sure.
So it's a
man,
bit
it's
got
to be tough, though.
But,
Yeah,
but, you know, as I say, the pleasure I get from being involved with these amazing people sort of, you know, it's nothing really to me now. You know, I just get on with it and look forward to seeing them and helping them.
Sure. And that led me to my next question, because I know that obviously it had to have been such an amazingly hard transition for you to get out, to leave the sport, but I know that you didn't actually leave the sport per se, because you did a lot of broadcasting, and again, as you mentioned, you know, you're still doing, you know, work, you know, with different people, you know, the Parajumpers, and obviously, is it Karen Law?
Karen Law, yes. Yeah.
Karen Law, right. But another cool thing that I know that I had read about some of the stuff that you've done was a certain protective gear that you've actually designed for show jumping and equestrians.
That's correct, yeah. It's a new range of clothing, and it's called Revo, which is short for revolution in riding. So I sort of worked alongside a neurosurgeon and looked into protective clothing, which is sort of designed to mold around children's body according to their body temperature, and it sort of gives an extra padding and protection without being bulky. So I've done, you know, spent a lot of time designing garments that are made sort of out of materials like denim and making them fashionable and versatile, but also wearable for other sporting activities as well, because not everybody wants to ride. Not everybody, unfortunately, I don't agree on that, because I want everybody in the world to ride. But, of course, you know, a lot of people want to be on their bikes and go to the park and go on climbing frames and things like that. So it's just a new concept of funky clothes, but it can be used riding, and it can also be used, you know, for realistically, it's action clothes for action kids, because we know that kids always want action, don't they? So
absolutely.
That's been my sort of pastime, and knowing the knowledge of what I know for riding and about the great outdoors, and it's interesting, very interesting.
And so how long has the gear been available to the general public, and where can they get it?
It's actually, we've got some temporary pieces at the moment, which are obviously being trialed out on young riders and kids and stuff. So in the new year, we will have it all ready, and it will then be up on the website. So probably after a few more programs of talking to you, I'll be able to give you a bit more information on it. But, you know, anybody that's listening, please, you know, stay on it, because it's going to be a great product in the new year.
Very good. Very cool. Now, in regard to protective gear and making sure that people are safe, obviously, I'm sure, you know, that you know better than anybody else, working with horses, working with ponies, it can be dangerous. You know, I'm just curious, did you ever hit a point where you were in an uncomfortable situation with your horse or pony? Did you ever see anyone personally, you know, get injured that kind of said to you, that made you think, okay, you know, this is what I need to do, this is how I can help?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my career for so many years, of course I had injuries. I mean, you know, I had a horse at one event in Europe that, you know, jumped a fence and it didn't reach enough for the back pole, and its leg came in between the middle of the fence, tipped up, and I obviously lay underneath it. So I was very lucky that I didn't get crushed to death. But because I landed and the horse landed on a sand base, my body sort of molded into the sand. So that was an incredible experience because obviously I'd got my huge horse on top of me. He was quite stunned by the fall, and he was sort of just laying there. And of course, you can't just run and quickly get the horse because the horse could panic. And if the horse
right.
panicked and rolled the wrong way, then it would have, you know, crushed me to death. So we, you know, I mean, that I think that was one of the worst ones that I can ever remember. But yeah, I mean, people do fall off. But people fall off bikes and accidents are everywhere,
right.
aren't they, unfortunately? These things happen.
Sure.
But it is, you know, it is a dangerous sport as such. And although protective clothing for equestrians, you know, at that time wasn't really on the market when I was riding, that's sort of where I got the idea many years later, because there was nothing really out there. And even now, there's body protectors, but they're very bulky and they make you sit in the saddle of a different shape. And, you know, you have to get a natural shape to sit in the saddle and get the horse that feels happy of how you're riding it. And when you're quite, you know, have a restriction with different pieces of body protectors on you or whatever, you do change the way you sit and you do change the way you're balanced. And, you know, that is a big input on the horse and also on the rider. So for that many reasons, you know, I looked into young riders. And of course, a lot of riders wouldn't wear anything in those days because it's very similar to looking at the seatbelt. I mean, years ago, you didn't have to put a seatbelt on. But then the rule came in that you had to wear a seatbelt. So for the adults, it was really a bind because you weren't used to wearing a seatbelt. But every child that grew up in that zone knows that you have to put a seatbelt on. So everybody wears a seatbelt now. So it's
sure.
just getting used to it, isn't it? You know.
Absolutely.
But it's a valuable thing to get used to because it's not going to completely, you know, stop an injury if it's a serious injury, but it's a beginning of a prevention. And if you can prevent something from hurting your body or, you know, helping it, then surely you should try, especially when you're riding horses, because the horse doesn't speak to you and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to turn now quickly after fence three and you're going to fall off. So
right.
you know, you build up a relationship and a trust with the animal, which is amazing, unique, and, you know, a wonderful experience. But you need to have, you know, as time moves on, you've seen that, especially here in England and all around the world with cricket, you know, kids now have to wear helmets. You have mouth guards for rugby. So, you know, I think it's time now that the sport moves on to how the other
right.
sports have, because, you know, it is yourself on an animal. You're not just you playing rugby, running across the field and, you know, being strong and doing what you do in your sport, but you're actually on an animal that's not going to tell you what's going to happen.
Of course. And you know, another thing that I'm curious to know about, and I don't know, the keeping up with the trends and keeping up with, because obviously safety is a huge issue these days.
Yeah.
Is that something that for you, because you're doing these events, and, you know, I know you mentioned fishing and different shooting type things. Do you ever, you know, is that something that you kind of take into consideration when you're working with certain people? Do you kind of look at the person and say, you know, what is this person, their comfort zone, what are they going to be into? Or is it really up to them to tell you for the events that they're looking for, you know, what they want and where they want to go?
Yeah, I mean, because I've been and I've seen these events and I know how they run, I can explain more to them when they ask me questions. But a typical example, when we took the groups a couple of weeks ago to the shooting, it
right.
was mixed groups. And, of course, the guys had gone along with all the guys saying, yeah, we're going to go shooting. And then, you know, they sort of tell the wives, well, we are going to a spa, but we're also going to be shooting. And, of course, there was two or three of the wives that were like, no way, I'm not going to go shooting. I don't want to go shooting. They were
right.
very anti it because it's not the normal thing, you know, for a lot of women to do because it's quite
mm-hmm.
a man's sport. I mean, for me, I'm lucky. I'm very sporty. So I love to watch football. I love to watch Formula One. And that's how
mm-hmm.
I am, by being a sports person, I suppose, you know, from a young age. But, of course, there's a lot of women out there that are housewives and, you know, don't do these sports because not everybody is sporty. And
right.
So I had to sort of talk to them and go through it. And in the end, you know, we made a laugh and a joke, and then we paired them into the ladies' team and the man's team. And, you know, halfway through the day, I couldn't believe what was happening because they never stopped laughing. They were having fun. They were all joking about what they were doing. And the men were quite amazed because they obviously thought that after about half an hour, they would just, you know, give up and, you know, go in and have coffee and cakes and whatever. And they loved it. They said, you know, it's wonderful and it's exhilarating and it's something I've never done. And it was really nice to see because it was complete strangers coming to it that didn't know about the sport. But, you know, already 4 days ago they booked to go on another event with me, you know, next year. And it was the women that rang me to say, we want to book this as a surprise for the men. So it was
right.
really good.
Very cool. Very cool. And for everyone just joining us, I want to make sure that they know the website is ejbevents.co.uk, and that's for EJB Events. And this way you can you know, see all the cool things that Emma is doing with the company, and obviously you can be contacted directly from there, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I'm also on Twitter, so they can follow me at Dame Emma Jane, all one word, on Twitter if they want to tweet me or whatever, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Perfect. And Emma, I know you've done a lot of different, you know, radio and television and different things to kind of promote, you know, what it is that you've been up to. But I what is this this upcoming TV appearance that you have coming up that people should be able to check out?
Yeah. It's not this week. It's December the 1st on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and it's on Channel 5 for us on television, but obviously you'll be able to see that on the website. It's a program called How the Other Lives, and it's super rich, sort of dealing the most lavish and luxurious lifestyles. So it's entrepreneurs, it's about mansions worth 20 million plus. So, it's hosted by two great people, Eamon Holmes, that a lot of people might have seen on Sky News. He does a lot of broadcasting on that. So I was very lucky that they came and approached me and asked if I would show how one of my events is for Eamon and Ruth. So we did some filming, and, it's six series. So there's one series next week, and then the following one I'm in. It's exciting.
Great. And that's perfect. I mean, that sounds exactly like what you need. You know, it's getting it out there and actually showing, too, you know, the different events that you're able to put together. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and then next week we'll have a wonderful thing happening. We've got at the Grosvenor House Hotel, which is a beautiful five-star hotel in London near Hyde Park. It's the Pride of Sport Awards, and EJB Events is one of the sponsors there, so I feel very proud to be involved. And it really celebrates and recognises the unsung heroes of sport. So the event will highlight people who have contributed to sport at a local or national level across all walks of life. So there's awards like Inspirational Performance of the Year, Lifetime Achievement Award, Young Sports Person of the Year Award. And then EJB Events is sponsoring the award for the Disabled Sportsperson Award. As you know, I'm very, very much into helping the disabled people, and, you know, being an ambassador for Riding for Disabled as well is very much a big piece for me. So my award is to recognise a disabled individual who has excelled in their chosen sport. So it's going to be a great, great night. I'm looking forward to it and meeting, you know, some more wonderful people. And as a surprise, I've also done a table for some of my para riders. So they're going to be having an experience in London because a lot of them live up north. And, you know, it's going to be red carpet. So for them, it is a real wow for them, which I'm going to be very proud to have them on my table and to experience the night. So, yeah, really
that
looking
sounds,
forward
that
to
that. Sounds
night.
Really, that sounds very cool. Yeah, absolutely. So, Emma, just I'm curious now. With you're yes. based out of, is it Manchester? Are you closer to Manchester than London, or how? Where's your proximity
no,
to
I'm,
everything?
No, I'm based in the Midlands, so I'm based up in Stratford upon Avon, which is William Shakespeare country, where Shakespeare
okay.
lives or lived.
Okay.
So that's about 2 hours from London, but I also go up to Manchester, and I'm in London 3-4 days a week. You know, with work and meeting clients and organising other events. But my base, is in the Midlands. But it's lovely up here. It's all, you know, great countryside. You've got wonderful areas to go and visit. And we sort of, you know, get involved with a lot of people from London to get them out of the city at weekends. So we will, you know, put on an event up in Broadway or the Cotswolds, which is, you know, a beautiful area. Because a lot of people down in the city, you know, in London, want some space. London is
right.
wonderful. It's a great capital, but it's very crazy, as all cities are. And a lot of businessmen and family want to get away. So we have a beautiful countryside with lakes by you. It's gorgeous. It's a private
mm-hmm.
lakes in about 500 acres of countryside and beautiful houses on the lake that you can rent. And it's so peaceful, so quiet. They go on bike rides. They can go to the spa there. And also it's wonderful for young children because it's 100% safe because all security is there and it's gated and, you know, you can't get in there unless you are an owner or a renter. And it's lovely to see children, you know, fishing and hiding in the woods and playing cowboys and Indians and things that they can't do in the city, obviously. But it's an escapism for the whole family. So we do a lot for that. We get a lot of foreign people coming over and, you know, they come and stay in London and then they have
mm-hmm.
maybe 2-3 days experience there. And it's like a refresher, isn't it? It sort of, you know, calms you down, de-stresses you.
Sure.
We have a celebrity chef go into the house and cook all the food. So I organize all their food and they literally arrive in a chauffeured car, and we have, you know, housekeepers there unpack all their clothes and all the food's ready and they just relax. So that's another great thing that EJB Events puts on.
Very nice. And have you done work then with people from all over the country? Is, I mean, because I know you mentioned, you know, that you are arranging, you know, events for people when they do come into London or the United Kingdom, that they are, you know, getting in touch with you and able to do that. So have you had a lot of work with that?
Yeah, we do. I'm also sort of like 4 or 5 months ago, I was on the radio station in London as well talking, you know, a bit about what we do. But, yeah, we get more and more now because it's a lot of word of mouth, which is good. And,
right.
You know, people like these unusual experiences. And, you know, concierges are wonderful in hotels because they say, yeah, you can get tickets for this and that. But that's where we step in and give, you know, a little bit more extra to the client.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much hands-on. So I'm always with them. If they want me to be 24/7, I'm there with them. But I like to go and check and make sure I'm around their weekend because I don't want them to get stressed. I don't want them to have any issues.
Right.
I am the one that takes the pressure from them. So a lot of times I will obviously be there to greet them and then I will stay around or, you know, if I'm not staying where they actually are, I'll be sort of a couple of miles away. And I put that into all my weekend work and everything because my service is, you know, a bespoke personal service, and if you're going to be personal service, then you've got to be hands-on, and that's what we do, which is a lot different to most concierge companies. You know, you normally say, yeah, okay, this is booked, off you go, have a lovely weekend, but I actually
right.
go there, I put all the flowers in the house, I do welcome gifts, I do written letters by a professional calligrapher who writes a personal letter to you, which is all beautifully written, which is another personal thing. And, yeah, I like to give that 100% service because I want everybody
Absolutely.
To be, you know, happy, relaxed. And if there is any issues, I'm the one that takes the problem and I'm
right.
the one that goes and sorts it out. I don't want to be sort of in my house at the weekend getting 10 phone calls to be told, Emma, this isn't this and this wasn't that. So I like to be hands-on, which is very unusual because, you know, it's not normal that everybody does that.
Right. Well, Emma, unfortunately, we are running out of time for today's episode, but I do want to remind everybody we do have you coming back on for 8 more episodes once a week for the next 8 weeks now. We got about 2 months into the series. And, you know, I want to thank you for coming on today. And if there's a best way for people to reach you directly or anything else that you would like to share with everybody, please let us know.
No, that's lovely. Thank you all, you know, for listening. And I'm really excited to tell you next week, obviously after the Pride of Sport Awards, which is next Wednesday, so that would be great to tell everybody how it went. And I wish everybody in New York a safe and happy day.
All right. Well, thank you again, Dame Emma Jane Brown, for coming on. And everybody, check out EJB Events. And this is Rob May from CMC Radio thanking you for listening, and we will see you soon. Take care, everybody.